sin. Can you agree on what it is? Often, actually, let me correct that statement I made. Often, culturally speaking, it's hard to talk about our own sin. It's very easy to talk about other people's sin. And we have all kinds of codes for how we do that. We say that we're being appropriately critical, or that we're trying to make sure that the morality of the place is up to a level that we need it to be. So we do find it easy to talk about others' sin. But I go back to my initial statement. When it comes actually about talking about our own sin, it's quite difficult to do it. And the reason we find it hard is because we've been programmed in a couple of ways. And we've taken steps that we need to talk about other people's sin and not our own. The ways that we talk about other people's sin leads us to some amount of one-upmanship. It leads us to trying to find answers for a world that is crazy around us when we can't look at ourselves and see how anything in us could have caused something like that to happen. But there's another side of this. There's another side of looking at other people's sin instead of our own, or why it's so hard for us to talk about our own sin. And that's because, in many ways, we stopped doing it. We stopped doing it for some good reasons, or things that we thought were good reasons. One reason we don't talk about our own sin is because we have a history of talking about it way too much, maybe. In fact, many people find that their experience of talking about sin had left them racked with guilt and shame, not knowing what worth they have. And so, in order to counteract, laying guilt trips on folks, we decided that we were just going to tell them what we heard from the cloud this morning, which is, they are the beloved of God, and they are. But in doing so, sometimes we've been really afraid to say the other part of that statement, which is, you are the beloved of God, not because you're perfect. You're the beloved of God, even when you're broken. And we have forgotten that you are beloved of God is the motivation for you to find those areas in yourself for self-examination, and through the power of the Spirit to cleanse them. We've taken that as, you're the beloved of God, I don't need to change because I'm already loved. And so it hasn't been all nefarious that we stopped talking about our own sinfulness. Part of it has been that we needed to counteract some of the bad ways that we felt about ourselves, the worthlessness, and we needed to re-worthize ourselves. We needed to give worth back where we felt as though it had been taken away. But in doing so, we forgot that worth was inherent. But sometimes those bad things were inherent in us as well and still needed attention. There's another reason, though, that we often don't talk about sin, and that is because we look at sin much differently now than our forebears did. And in fact, you will see as we encounter right one in this Lenten season, you're going to see that there's a much different approach to what sin is than there is in right two. And let me kind of tell you a story to get at the heart of how we look at sin differently now than maybe we used to in the past. I was driving back from a wedding a few years ago. It had been a church wedding, and so but it wasn't at the church, so we all carpooled. Actually, it was a wedding at an auction house, of all places. So the fellow that was getting married was an auctioneer, and he wanted to have his wedding in there, so we hauled all the Episcopal, like, paraphernalia out to the auction house. I think we came back with it all. I don't think anything went to the highest bidder. But on the ride back, because we had carpooled, I had a woman in the car with me, and she was like, you know, she asked me what is one of the top three, like, liturgical questions for any priest, and that is, why do we say the confession every week in church? Now, if you wonder what the others are, why we say the confession is just shortly ahead of why does the priest wear a dress every week in church? It's followed by, if the priest always wears a dress, why do you take so long to ordain women in the church? Well, why do we say the confession? And she was very earnest in this. She was earnest in that. She goes, you know, when I think about the confession each week, I really can't imagine myself needing to say any of those things. I cannot remember a time this week when I did not love God with my whole heart. I cannot remember a time this week where I had the opportunity to love my neighbors myself, and I didn't do it. I can't remember a time when I omitted some action that I knew to be the right one this week. And she wasn't being arrogant. She was being quite earnest. She's like, do I just some weeks when I don't feel that, not have to say it? Why do I have to say I'm truly sorry and humbly repent when honestly? She said, I spend the whole time in confession trying to think, like, what have I done wrong this week? And I can come up with nothing. Now, I'm sure some priests would have said, well, I can come up with something, but that didn't seem to be the most helpful answer. The reason is that she doesn't say that confession alone. The reason that we confess every week is that even though if you go through the events of the past week, it can map nothing one to one to the things you're confessing in the confession and the things that you did, there's a way that we all say the confession together. Because we collectively have done those things. You don't say, I confess in the liturgy. You say, we. You say, we have not loved with our whole heart. So this is something we do together, and we confess together because we sin together. That's the thing that we've forgotten. The thing that we've forgotten is that sin is not the act of a single individual. Sin is the result of a community that is falling short of keeping God's law together. One of the reasons we don't talk about sin is because we try to focus in on those individual things that each one of us have done, and not the results of the ways that we have not loved God with our own hearts, and the ways as a society we have not loved the neighbors with ourselves. Ways as a society we have done things and not done things that we should do. We confess together because we sin together. We also confess together because we are cleansed and saved together. So there's a couple of things I think is worth pointing out if you really want to start talking about sin. I mean, if you want to start talking about your own sin and not others, one good reason not to talk about others and think about yourself first is the idea that Jesus in many places tells us not to judge. In fact, we're told Jesus is the judge, and it's kind of implied in this Peter passage this morning, and it's explicit elsewhere in that letter. Jesus is imploring us not to judge because it takes us away from the act of self-examination first. Puts us in a place to look at the other as different than ourselves. But the other thing that's so hard about this is how do we hold this? Because I don't want to put us back into the old days of you come to church every week and feel guilty, or you know, you start to think through the confession every week and feel guilty, or how do we handle, like, you know, I need to look at what I do, I need to look at what we do together. But I also know I'm beloved at the same time. And I think part of that is the theology of the flood. That flood story that we get today is a story that is quite complicated. It's much more complicated than it's presented. It is a salvation and catastrophe. It's not a story of judgment, but it's a story of survival. In fact, the word judgment or revenge or anger, none of those words ever appear in that story. But it's a story about sorrow, about an action that is unsavory, even for God, God's self. Because when we get to the end of the story today, it is not the bow that is set in the heavens that's for us to remember anything. God makes it quite clear when he talks to him, he said, I'm going to hang up my weapon, my bow, and put it in the heavens. That is for me to see what has happened in the past and how it had to be cleansed and how I will not let it get to that place any longer. The bow is not for you to look up and be assured of God's goodness. In this story, the writer tells us the bow is for God to see it and be remembered of what happened in the past. Because God took on the act of the blood in that story of sorrow. And also, Jesus takes on the results of our sins out of sorrow as well. So the theology of trying to think about, like, well, how do I self-examine myself and not go down into darkness? How do I retain belovedness? Is to know that there is cleansing to come one way or the other. That cleansing comes through the person of Jesus not taking the punishment for our sins, but taking on the results of our sins. Because when God looks in the sky and he sees that he's put up his weapon, there must be a better way. And that better way is through the beloved himself, Jesus. And Jesus taking on those things that we must acknowledge. We confess together.